right. What mentally deficient bunch of gelded wonders elected this crook as speaker? I turn my back on you for 5 minutes, and you throw open the doors and invite the fox into the henhouse. Why didn't you hand over the crown jewels to him as well while you were at it? In fact, I think I'll check them right after I leave here. And if just one piece is missing, someone is going to suffer, and it sure as hell isn't going to be me. Why Gutman of all people? If there's any vile trade in the Empire that he hasn't profited from, it's only because he hasn't found out about it yet. The man deals in death and suffering. God knows how much blood he has on his hands.
And how many have died at yours, Sir Deathstalker? We've all had to do distressing things to get where we are today. But this is, after all, supposed to be a new order. A chance for everyone to remake themselves anew. To build new lives and careers entirely separate from past history. Or don't you believe in second chances, in redemption?
Not where you're concerned. Grendels were turned vegetarian before you reform. I know you, Gutman.
The fact remains that I have been freely elected to my position as Speaker of the House by these good men and women present. Or do you defy their authority?
Don't try and twist this. I didn't spend years on the run as an outlaw and wade through blood and slaughter in the streets of Golgotha just to see power handed over to such as you. I don't know how you managed to escape the war trials, Gutman, but you won't escape me. Now come down off that seat or I'll come up and get you.
You can't touch me. I have the protection of Parliament. The people you yourself helped place in power. Have you no faith in your own creation?
Not when they screw up this badly.
So you elevate yourself above their authority. Just like the aristocrats you threw down because you said they abused their power. Can anyone spot the irony here? You're not a hero anymore, Deathstalker, making up your own rules as you go along. You're just another citizen of the Empire, subject to the authority of the people, as expressed through Parliament.
To hell with that! I never needed a Parliament to tell me what was right and wrong. Now get down here, or I'll kill you where you sit.
You defy Parliament's will?
To hell with them! I'll kill anyone who gets between me and you. I'll tear down this whole house around your ears if that's what it takes.
Armed guards came running from all sides as the MPs broke into an excited babble. With anyone else, what they'd heard might just have been empty threats, but this was Owen Deathstalker. He might actually do it. Gutman gripped the arms of his chair tightly, but kept his face calm. He'd manipulated the Deathstalker into losing his temper and undermining his heroic image. Now all he had to do was live through it.
Typical Deathstalker threat. To hell with how many die as long as he gets his way. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised. After all, it was his ancestor, the first Deathstalker, who activated the Dark Void device and murdered untold billions of innocents.
Hazel clung grimly to Owen's arm so he couldn't draw his disruptor. The guards looked on anxiously. Hazel grabbed Owen by the chin with one hand and forced his face around to meet hers.
Don't, Owen. You'd have to kill a lot of innocent men before you got to Gutman. It would be the ruin of you. He isn't worth that.
Owen jerked his face out of her hand and glared at her, breathing hard.
I thought you at least would understand.
I do, Owen, I do. But this isn't the time or the place.
It had gone very quiet in the house. Everyone was waiting to see what the Deathstalker would do. The guards kept their guns trained on him, but were careful to do nothing that might provoke him into action. Owen looked slowly about him, and then smiled slightly. Some of the anger went out of him, and he let his hand drop away from the disruptor at his side.
What are things coming to where you have to lecture me on restraint? But you're right. There'll be a better time.
He turned his back on Gutman and strode off to join the watching crowd, standing in the appointed area. Hazel gave Gutman a hard look and then hurried after Owen, just in case. Not far away, Jack Random and Ruby Journey were applauding. A great many others looked as though they would have liked to. The guards lowered their weapons, picked up their two fallen fellows, and retreated as fast as honor would allow. Toby Schreck grinned from ear to ear, confident that Flynn had got it all on tape. Elias Gutman waited a moment to be sure his voice was steady, and then opened the session's proceedings with an emotional speech composed entirely of stirring platitudes and sound bites. The speech was applauded for being short, and then Parliament finally got down to business. First on the agenda was a report from the Cyber Rats, currently investigating Golgotha's computer matrix for signs of infiltration by the rogue AIs of Shub. A view screen appeared before the assembled members of Parliament and the public, floating in midair. Vivid colors flashed across the screen, and then resolved into the head and shoulders of whoever was acting as spokesperson for the cyber rats today. They tended to be rather relaxed, if not downright arbitrary about such matters, having little concern for the demands of the world outside their precious computers. The cyber rats lived for the time they spent immersed in cyberspace, and never appeared in public if they could help it. Anyone who'd ever seen one knew why. They had enough tech implants, add-ons, and cutting-edge options to qualify technically as cyborgs, and their personal habits bordered on disgusting, more through absent-mindedness than anything else. They cared only for tech and what it could do for them, and often disregarded the needs of the mere meat they lived in. The current representative, who rejoiced in the codename Wired Bunny, looked like he'd died several days ago and been dug up especially to make this report. His skin was a dusty gray, and his face was sharp and bony to the point of emaciation. A nutrient tube was plugged into a vein in his neck, and a computer jack disappeared into his empty right eye socket. He smiled vaguely at his audience, revealing a set of truly awful teeth.
Wow! So many people in one place! I can dig the ambience from here. Greetings and salutations, meat people! This is a very heavy metal dude, Wired Bunny, making nice with you. Hallelujah! Let's all speak in tongues! Power to the people who believe they're real and to those still thinking about it! And everyone else, the secret is to bang the neurons together, guys. Me and my totally buzzing associates have been surfing the silicon in the matrix in search of those utterly bad metal muggers from the place we don't mention. Shh. And so far, I have to tell you, we've found Zip Nada! Utterly squat! Lesson zero, dude! I mean, lots of signs of something Meg has been and gone, but don't ask who or what or where. Unless you want a lot of techno speak that even we don't understand half the time, because we're having to make it up as we go along. We're the frontier, people! And it sure is strange out here. Of course, it hasn't helped that large areas are marked off limits by the larger business constructs. Paranoia City, cousins. We'll break through eventually, if only because we do so love a challenge. But it is slowing us down some. Don't suppose you heavy business dudes would care to volunteer the entry codes? No. I didn't think so. Damn, these negative vibes are freaking me out! Hold on while I boost my endorphins again. You guys talk amongst yourselves for a bit. I think I'm gonna have a little lie down and fry a few brain cells I'm not currently using. Oh, whoa, the colors, dude.
Wait! Haven't you anything useful you can tell us?
What? Oh. Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah, sure, Lars, dude. I like entirely forgot. Oh, wait a minute. I wrote it on a post-it note somewhere. And, wait a second, oh boy, here it is! Beware the dragon's teeth. That is so cool. Over and out and gone, man!
As I recall, you recommended these people, Sir Deathstalker.
They're weird, but they know their business. The way computers are these days, the two facts are probably not unconnected. Spending enough time in the Matrix will drive anyone crazy, and the cyberrats go there for fun. If the AIs have left any trace of what they've been doing, these are the only people who have any chance of detecting them. And we have to know. The AI said they'd infiltrated all the major human businesses and have been manipulating our economy to their own ends. Now, they could have been just saying that for the panic it would cause, but we can't take any chances. If it is true, we need to know how far the infiltration has gone and how long it's been going on before we can even start to put things right.
But your own experts said none of the cyberrats have been able to find any traces of outside meddling.
If there's one thing Shub knows better than us, it's computers. They'd have hidden their tracks in places normal humans wouldn't even think to look. Luckily, the cyberrats aren't remotely normal.
At last you've chanced upon something we can agree on. I only wish I shared your confidence. Perhaps you could enlighten this house with your best guess as to what these dragon's teeth are that we're supposed to beware?
I would have thought that was obvious, even to you. The AIs also claim they'd been ripping the minds out of people as they entered the Matrix, and substituting their own thoughts. The dragon's teeth are the people who walk among us who are no longer people, wearing men's faces but thinking Shub's thoughts. The perfect spies, even less detectable than Furies. We've no way of knowing how many there may be out there, or how deeply our security has been penetrated.
Which brings us very neatly to my petition before the House.
People looked to see from where in the crowd the harsh voice had come, and then backed hastily away as they recognized the short, spectral blonde with eyes as cold as death. Once her name had been Jenny Psycho, and she had been an avatar of the mysterious and enigmatic Uber-Esper Mater Mundi, our mother of all souls. Power beyond all dreams and reason had burned in Jenny Psycho, and she had only to frown for the air around her to crackle with potential. But she was no longer all that she had been, abandoned by the Mater Mundi, and had reverted to her old name of Diana Virtue. She was still a power to be reckoned with, and most people had the good sense to be very nervous when she was around. These days, she represented the Esper Underground in Parliament, mainly because everyone else in the Underground was too worried by her to disagree. She moved forward through the crowd, and people hurried to get out of her way. She stopped before Owen, who bowed politely to her. Truth be told, she worried him a little too, but he didn't believe in letting people see things like that.
Hello, Diana. You're looking very normal. What petition might this be?
To have all the ESP blockers removed from Parliament, so we can scan the minds of all present, to find out if everyone is exactly who they claim to be.
Diana had damaged her throat screaming in Golgotha's prison cells, and it had never really recovered. She looked coolly about her, and even the innocent shrank back a little.
The ESP blockers must go. It's not just Shub we have to worry about. Remember the shape-changing alien that turned up at court? It mimicked a man so exactly that even his friends couldn't tell the difference. The only way we can maintain real security in Parliament is by mass ESP screening, with no abstentions permitted. Seems a perfectly reasonable request to me.
That's because you're weird.
Practically the whole house nodded in agreement with Gutman.
What you suggest is totally unacceptable. Everyone is entitled to the inviolability of their own mind.
For once, I have to agree. We all have secrets that must be kept to ourselves, even if they're really only important to us, or perhaps especially those. But I do see your point. Maybe we could work out some kind of voluntary system.
Go right ahead. You first.
Owen smiled slightly, despite himself.
Let's pass this one on to the church. They have experience with the confessional.
We'll take it under advisement. And if that doesn't suit you, Esper Virtue, feel free to take it up with the appropriate subcommittee at some other time. However, this does lead neatly onto our next piece of business. Though just once I wish people would stick to the agenda. As part of the deal Jack Random thrashed out with the families, clones and espers are no longer property, but citizens in their own right. Laudable and just as that may be, it has led to certain unexpected problems. For centuries, trade and industry throughout the Empire were based on the unlimited availability of clone and esper labor. They now have to be replaced by paid workers or new technology, both of which are proving extremely expensive. Change is always costly, and someone's got to pay for it all. Since we've finally gotten the tax computers working again...
Here, Gutman and his audience paused to glare at those responsible for the computer's destruction, namely Owen and Hazel, who smiled and nodded modestly.
Our first thought was a rise in the basic rate of income tax. But the citizenry soon got to hear of this and quickly made it clear that they regarded it as a very bad idea. They pointed out that they were already paying for the Empire-wide repairs made necessary by the extensive fighting during the rebellion, and were therefore doing their bit. They suggested that the aristocracy, as the wealthiest among us, should shoulder the bill. The clans not unreasonably pointed out that their loss of power and control through Random's deal had reduced many of them to neo-pauperism, and they really didn't think it fair that they be punished any further. Dark hints were dropped about the collapse of family industries if they were pressed, and all the mass unemployment that would cause. Extensive discussions, negotiations, and any number of committees have quite failed to reach any useful conclusions.
He makes even longer speeches than you do, Owen. I'm impressed.
And you needn't look to the undergrounds either. We're already having to support the families of clones and espers thrown out of work by new technology. While they were property, the clans supported their essential needs. Now they're free citizens, they've washed their hands of them. Freedom's all very well, but it doesn't put food on the table.
Owen thought he'd never heard so many people being so ungrateful, and felt like saying so. But he didn't, because he knew they'd find some way of blaming it all on him, and he didn't know who should pay for it all either. Economics had never been his strong point. As a lord, he'd had people to do that sort of thing for him, and as a rebel, he'd concentrated on fighting, and left everything else to the underground leaders. He was a warrior, not an accountant. He looked at Hazel, who shrugged.
Don't ask me. My ideas for a fairer redistribution of wealth involved becoming a pirate and a clone legger, neither of which worked out particularly well.
The problem is the rate of change in the Empire. It's too slow.
The problem is it's too fast.
You would say that. It's you and your kind who have the most to lose.
We're just concerned about changing too rapidly from a system based on people to one based on tech. We don't want to end up like Shub.
That's just a smokescreen, Gutman. The undergrounds don't want clones and espers replaced by tech. Just better working conditions and an equitable day's pay. You're just changing to tech to avoid that.
Which brings us neatly back to money. With everything in turmoil, and our economy running wild with no one at the helm, inflation has shot through the roof. Prices are rising everywhere, even on the most stable planets. Savings have been wiped out. Banks have collapsed. The families are doing all they can to support the credit, but the only thing they all agree on is that things are bound to get worse before they get better. Whatever else you can say about the old order, it always maintained the value of the credit. Even if the Empress had to hang a few bankers to make her point.
How about a tax on pompous windbags? Or a windfall tax on those who have managed to profit very nicely from the changing situation? That ought to raise a fair amount of cash.
There was a growling and a muttering, but no one had the nerve to demand that Hazel retract her comment. Partly because they didn't want to legitimize the question, and partly because she might do something very unpleasant and quite possibly fatal if she thought she was being slighted. This was Hazel Dark, after all.
Please let us all try not to see this in terms of personalities. I think it might be best if we were to move on to the next order of business.
But nothing's been decided about the last question.
I said we're moving on. Speaker, I am in charge of the agenda.
I told you. I warned you this would happen.
I could have you removed.
You could try.